Amen, amen, amen. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord today? All right, let me try that again. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on. Let me try that again. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Woo! I mean, God is here. The Word is here. I got people that are close to me, close to me. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you what. We have so much to be grateful for today. We've got so much to be grateful for today. Hallelujah. How many would be here if the nice cozy chairs weren't so cozy? Come on. How many would be here today if we didn't have heaters heating us today? Come on. How many would be here if we didn't have nice Hope coffee blend and how many would be here? You're not here because of those things. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We've got to be a grateful, happy people. We've got to make a decision. You know, I heard one pastor say this. He said, if you got no blessings, nothing more for the rest of your life, except you knew that you were going to be in heaven forever, you ought to be the most joyous person every single day. We've got to make a decision today to be joyful. Amen. I'll give you another chance. We got to make a decision today to be joyful. Amen. Pastor, why are you egging us on? Because there is so much power out of your mouth. Don't get me started teaching on complaining. But that reality becomes our reality. And so I, as your pastor, want to encourage you today and say, you know what, make a decision. You're going to be happy today. You know what, we got all these reasons to be happy today, but the main reason we have to be happy today is because we are Christians. We are in the family of God. Amen. I remember when I used to work at Albertsons, and one of the most joyous times at the grocery store was Christmas time, because people who weren't usually happy at all got a little bit happy, and people who were happy got happier. Does that make sense? And so I remember Christmas Eve getting off and of work early, but by the time we cleaned up it was still 8 o'clock. But I remember coming home particularly this one Christmas, and I saw all these Christmas lights, you know what, house after house, not every house, but a lot of houses with Christmas lights on. And I thought, oh my goodness, these people are celebrating my Savior. And I knew a lot of them weren't putting those Christmas lights up because of Jesus. But it didn't make any difference. They were still put Christmas lights up because of Jesus. And I just thought, man, God is amazing. Well, we're continuing our series in my favorites. And last week we started 2 Corinthians. Turn there in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 gives us this very, somebody say very. This very deep insight that actually I could take 2 months really teaching on this, because it's so out of our comfort zone. It's really not where we live, and it's where we need to live. So last week, remember I talked about the faith train and the doubt train. And I said, we got to get off. Or the train that believes in what you can't see and the train that believes in what you can see. So I want to just do a little bit of review, and then we'll jump into some depth that we weren't able to look at last week. While we do not look at the things which are what? Seen. Think about that right away. It's saying we don't look at what we can see. That's kind of an oxymoron, is it not? For we don't look, but how many know we are different? We are a peculiar people. We're a different people. We're not marching to the beat of the drummer that the world is beating to. We're marching to God's beat. Amen. We're marching to his beat, and we're marching to his spirit, and we're marching to what he says is real, and what he says is real is really real. Amen. My sermon title, you can mark it part two. My sermon title last week was, what is the most real? What is the most real? While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, here's why. For the things which are seen are temporary. They're short term. They're here today and gone the next. How many have lived in Pico Rivera for most of your life? Raise your hand real high if that's you. Real high, let me see. Okay. How many, what can you remember, you Pico Riverians, what can you remember that was here, that used to be here, and is not here anymore? Lucky's. I remember Lucky's, you know what? All right. And what was Lucky's made out of? What was that building made out of? Steel and concrete and brick and I mean things, and guess what? It is not here anymore. Amen. How many other Pico Riverians? What do you remember? Montgomery Wards. Wow. How many old enough to remember the Montgomery Wards? Wow. What? Western Auto. I remember Western Auto. Where was the Western Auto? Where was the Western Auto? Yeah, where was it? Yeah, it was where Big Five was, wasn't it? Okay. Where was the what do you call it? Montgomery Wards. Where was that? On Target. Good. What? Sir George's. Wow. How many old school enough to remember Sir George's? Come on. Where was Sir George's? What is it? Buffet? Yeah, where was it? Rosemead and Whittier. What else? What else? Ford Motor Company. I remember that. What do you remember? What? How many remember that? Do you remember that, Bill? Where was that? Oh, my good. Wow. Hickory Hub? Hickory Hub. Wow. Who knew? It's good. Home Depot. Good. What? The swap meet. Right? Oh, yeah. How many remember the old library? Now it's... Bill, what do you remember? A little club called the Hot Potato that I know y'all didn't go to. Hallelujah. Right? What? What? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. All across from Mario, just like all those little shops over on this side, they were all little shops on this side. Oh, I remember the drive-in theater. Rick, what do you remember? The what? The green sheet. What was that? Oh, the news. Oh, my goodness. Tyler, what do you remember? Blockbuster. It's Blockbuster. Yeah, do you remember something? What? Orange Julius. Where was there Orange Julius? Oh, my. I wish there was still that Orange Julius there. What? Pico River Community Hospital. Chico Rivera Community Hospital. What do you remember? Kmart. How many remember Kmart? Kmart. That's a good one, buddy. Yeah. Spaghetti Land. I remember Spaghetti Land. And remember, it was that kind of rocky thing? A disco. Oh, is that a disco? I know you all didn't go there either. What? What? Dilly's. Millie's. Where was that? Oh, my goodness. Was that good? That was good. Two more. I was waiting for that. The bowling alley. How many remember the bowling alley? It was right here. What, last but not least, what do you remember? Food King. Oh, I remember Food King. That's all. Here's my point. All these things, how concrete were they? How substantial were they? How strong were they? What were they built? I mean, this stuff is substantial, and none of it is here. And you saw all of it. How many know you saw all of it? It ain't no big deal. You know what? They'll come down and they'll bulldoze it, and that which you can see is not seen anymore. We see this all the time. And in the spiritual realm, this is so real that what is not seen is more real than that which is seen. But we can get caught up into what is seen, and when we get caught up in what is seen, then we start, listen to me, we start to, listen. We start to accept. How many know there's only two systems? Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's no middle ground. There's only two systems. And when you start to get, listen to me very carefully, because I'm talking to every single person. And you've got to catch this. And this is not an easy thing to catch. And let me tell you why. Because you drove here in a car. Right? How many made coffee this morning, even before you got here, with the Keurig machine? Right? How many are sitting on chairs? See, all these things are our life, our reality. And so it's easy for us to get caught up in that reality. But if we do, then we are in the wrong system. We have to be hybrids. We have to understand we're in this system, but we're not of this system. We understand this system, and God has put us here in this system, but our hope, how we function, is not how everybody else functions. Does that make sense? You ever see these people riding their bikes? Then you ever see these other people, and they're riding this weird bike, and they're down low, and their pedals are up high, and they're... You ever see that? Okay, that's who we are. We don't ride normal bikes, amen? Right? We're functioning in a different system. And what I'm telling you, what it's so easy for us who are on this system, to be pulled over here, because there's this constant pulling that you're trying to be pulled over this way. And when you get pulled over this way, you go down. You're now functioning. Now you're not functioning in the supernatural. Now you're just functioning in the natural. And there will be things, listen to me, this is what I'm going to prove to you today. This is what I want to get in your head. There will be things, if you will be pulled over to this side, there will be things, there will be dreams, there will be plans that you are called to walk in, called to live in, called to produce. You are a producer. God has put you here to make a difference. There are things that you are assigned to that you can't accomplish over here, because this is the natural. You can accomplish some things in the natural. But there are some things that you're assigned to do that you won't be able to do in the natural, because it takes a supernatural for you to get these things done. Shake your head like this if that makes sense. And what I'm telling you is the main thing that Paul is pointing out is that there's Christians in Corinth and in Pico Rivera, and sometimes maybe even at Hope, and you've got to be reminded, because in the course of time, you think that what is seen is more real than what is not seen, and you could not be more wrong. It's just the opposite. That which is not seen is more substantial than that which is seen. And so we've got to, in our marriages, we've got to get out of just what we see. We've got to become hopeful again. In our praying for our kids, we've got to become hopeful again. In our dreams for our businesses, we've got to be hopeful again. In our dreams for our nation, we've got to become hopeful again. In things that God has spoken to you, you've got to become hopeful again. In your hope to walk in God's plan, you've got to become hopeful again. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Do you remember this? Guys in the back, stay with me. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Watch this. Watch, let me help you out. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What's faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. That's how we walk. Amen. Are you learning something? So we look at, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Pastor, where is 2 Kings? Right after 1 Kings. Chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6. Start with verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, My camp will be in such and such a place. And a man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Watch this. They had supernatural insight. How many know the Bible says God will tell you of things to come when the Holy Spirit comes upon us? Right? Verse 10, and the king of Israel sent someone to that place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there not just once or twice. This happened over and over again. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? You know what he thinks? He thinks there's a spy. I'm going to teach a series on walking in the supernatural. But we see it all the time in the Bible. I'm convinced that as pastors, we don't preach on the prophetic enough. We don't encourage people. No, no, guys, are you Christian? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. You're called to know things before you can see them. You're called to know things that other people can't see. Other people can't know. It's called a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or prophecy. These are all things that Paul says, you know, of all these things, I in particular would desire that you all would prophesy. And we've got to push the envelope in this, because these things don't happen automatically. But this is happening for the man of God. If you draw close to God, he'll draw close to you. How many know the Bible says that? And as we do that, what do we start doing? We start his anointing starts rubbing off of us. That's what the Bible says. That's what anointing is. It's just a rubbing off. So this is a man of God, and he has insight. But the king doesn't understand this. He just thinks he's just on this train over here. And now all he understands is this train over here. So all he thinks is somebody is spying on us. Somebody is giving the Israelites the intel. Well, somebody was, but it wasn't because anyone was spying. It was because there was somebody who was prophetic and understood what was going on. Therefore, verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled with this thing, and he called the servants and said, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Show me the traitor. Verse 12, and the one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel all the words that you speak in your bedroom. Look at your neighbor and say, God knows what's really going on in your life. Verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is, that he might send and get him. And he was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Oh, he's in Dothan. Wow, that's where he is, surely. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and great armies there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. Oh, are they jacked up? Are they jacked up? Someone look at me and say, they ain't jacked up at all. See, more real is what is not seen, that which is seen. Does that make sense? Then the servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? We are messed up, man. They're all around us. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Let me see. Wait. Me and you. Me and the prophet. And they sent all the army to surround them with all these chariots. What's going on? The prophet is seeing the unseen. I mean, listen to me. See, we live in such a cynical world. Listen to me. We live in such a cynical world. How many know bad company corrupts good morals? So you hang around these people and you're believing for something that God has spoken to you, and it's supernatural, and you know it's real, and you knew it was God. But these bozos that you hang out with, they're constantly, you know what? I mean, the few times that you've said out of your mouth, you know what, I tell you what, I feel this, but I know that God is my deliverer. I know he's my healer. He's going to heal me. You know what, I just receive it by faith. I'm believing. And they look at you like you're whacked. And it becomes problematic, because how many know death and life are in the power of the tongue? And that power, you don't want, oh, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, what ding-dong came up with that little rhyme? Words are more powerful than anything. And words create images in your mind. And Jesus said, my word is spirit and my word is life. And so you allow their opinion to shape. How many know you don't think in words, you think in pictures? Here, let me prove it. Close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Everybody. If I can see your eyeballs, you're disobedient, okay? All right, close your eyes. Close your eyes, okay? Good, good. Dog. Now open your eyes. Okay, okay. What'd you see? A dog. What kind of dog did you see? AJ's little dog. Good. Who else saw something different than AJ's little dog? What'd you see? You saw Nijah. Oh, you saw the white cloud, right? Right, right. You saw Nijah. Good, good. Who else? Nijah's Tyler's dog. Great dog. Who else saw a dog? What dog do you see? What? Your dog. What's your dog's name? Ember. What's big dog, small dog? What? Husky. Now watch this. Watch this. If I said big dog, now you have a different image. Does that make sense? If I said small little fluffy dog, you're not thinking S-M-A-L-L, small, little, L-I-T-T-L-E, D-O. You don't think that way. Words create pictures in your mind. So God tells Joshua, listen, this is biblical stuff. God tells Joshua before he goes into, you know, when he sees these walls of Jericho, he says, I want you to see it, that you're going to conquer that. And he uses that word, look it up. He uses the word, I want you to see it that way. And there's things that God has spoken to us, sometimes through dreams and visions, sometimes right out of the word of God, that you're reading his words and you're getting this understanding of this change that is going to happen in your life. And that is more real than that which you can see. More real. Somebody say more real. So the prophet sees something that somebody else doesn't see. Listen, you can be sitting right next to someone who calls themselves a Christian. They might be a Christian. They might be an authentic follower of God. And I hope they are. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's talking about you. And even somebody right next to you that is authentic child of God, because of their not understanding this passage in 2 Corinthians, because of maybe their not understanding how important it is to protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And you can get off. It's many people get off this train and go to the, and they will sit there and even argue with you why their marriage is never going to be fixed. They'll even argue with you why that person is never going to change. They'll argue with you why they're never going to get out of debt. They'll argue with you why they'll tell you so quickly about how easy it is for them to gain weight, but how hard it is for them to lose weight. You know what these are called in the Bible? Strongholds. They're called strongholds. and they are real. But we are to be on, we are to have some strongholds. How many know you can have some positive strongholds? The Word of God should be our stronghold. Amen? I said the Word of God should be our stronghold. No. The Word of God should be our stronghold. You know what? I am not moved by what I see because I walk by faith. Amen? Let God be true and every man a liar. And he says, that which, you know what? He answers, do not fear. Really important. This fear will cause you to stay on this side. And you've got to open up yourself and say, hey, maybe that which I see isn't the only thing that's real. Maybe there's something that's more real. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more. Somebody say more. Hallelujah. More. Then Elijah prayed and said, watch this, and said, Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he what? Saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So, verse 18, I'll just, one more verse. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word. According to what? The word of who? Whoa, Jackson. I think you got a misprint in your Bible. According to the word of what? Okay. Let's just let it soak in. You ever water something that's on a hard ground and the plant's dying? And what should you do? Water it, but then what should you do? Man, let that water soak in. According to the word of who? Elijah. Can we let it soak in? Can we let it soak in our hard hearts where we have been taught wrong over and over and over again, and we start to believe a theology that isn't even true? I'm gonna go back to that in a minute. Let's not lose that reality. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You all like when we read the word of God, right? I mean, that's where we're going to learn something. Turn to Acts chapter 9. How many ever God has asked you to do something you were afraid to do? I mean, ever God ever asked you to do something you're afraid to do? You know what? That which is, well, but Pastor, if that happens, that which is unseen is more real than that which is seen. Step out in faith. Believe it. Watch this. Chapter 9. Start with verse 1. And Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asking letters from the synagogues in Damascus. So he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he sought to bring them bound to Jerusalem. He's looking to bring people who are calling themselves Christians by chains back to Jerusalem. Many of them would be killed there. And he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5, so he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against goats? So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and I will tell you what you must do. And The man and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but not seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground. When his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple named what? Denias. Damascus, named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire." Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes God will give you specific details. "And inquire at the house of Judas, for one is called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he was seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting on his hands on him so he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered." I read all that story to get here. Look at your neighbor and say, "You ready for this?" "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to our saints in Jerusalem." How many know words are powerful? What did he do? He heard it. Somebody say he heard it. And he created this image in his mind of this Saul who was a bad dude. Verse 14. "And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." Well, who's all include? Ananias. Right? It's like, man, I don't want to mess with this guy. But the Lord said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." All lies up here. You might be called to do something that is going to unlock something else that is huge in the kingdom of God, and your position is so important that you follow what God says. Look at your neighbor and say, Ananias is really important in this. And what did Ananias have? He didn't have any sight. All he had was a vision. But it was God's vision. It was God's words. For verse 16, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer in my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus," now stop here. He knows nothing except what the Lord told him. All the report that he heard other than that was, this guy's deadly, this guy's dangerous, this guy's persecuting the church, chaining people up. That's all he heard. But based on what God said, here's the main thing, what he could not see. All he had is the word of God. But he steps into, he is risking his life. Why would he do that? Because he believes that God's word is more powerful than anything else. He can trust in God, and so can you trust in God. Verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Did you catch it? Did you catch it? How many caught it? Raise your hand if you think you caught it. Raise your hand real high if you think you caught it. Okay, but for everybody else, let me help you. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has come and sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." that you, he sent me that you would be, receive your sight. Up to this point, he can't see. But more important than that, and be filled. How many enjoy the New Testament? How many of your life been completely rocked from something that you were reading the whole in the New Testament and you were like, oh my goodness. Raise your hand if that's you. When you get to heaven, one of the first persons you need to find is this guy and go up to him and thank him because he was responsible for Paul seeing him, being able to see and receive the Holy Spirit. I'm like, oh my goodness. You and I are going to have to fight the same fight. The Bible calls it, it's a good fight. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight of you having to resist all this that you've seen, all this junk that people are telling you, all these things that you think are so concrete, and you've got to stand up and say, no, I'm telling you what, I do not, I will not be moved by what I see, because for what I can't see is more real than what I can see. Are you learning something today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Ananias. You are a bad dude. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. You're learning something today. Amen. Now, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned, are you catching this? Of what? Of things not seen. He's being warned of stuff that nobody saw up to that point. And there's, I've read a lot on this. There's a lot of argument back and forth by the theologians. Good Bible study doesn't throw our interpretation into the Bible. It just reads the Bible. So the argument is there are some people who thought that rain existed before it did rain before the ark. There's other people who think that that it did rain, and there. If those of you who think it did rain, I'm not saying you're wrong. You might be right. I'm saying that the people on the other side, at least they have, here's what I'm saying. You look it up yourself, read the text, and you'll find that the reason why there's good people on both sides is because it's not clear. I'll just prove it to you. When the Bible says, warned of things not seen, our mind automatically says, yeah, nobody saw the, there was no rain. Nobody saw rain. But when you look at it in, and you look at the other, there's two other text places in the Bible that talks about this. When you look at it, it's the same thing. It's ambiguous. It doesn't say rain. When it doesn't say rain, good theology says, don't say rain. Why? Because it doesn't say rain. So what it could be, what it could mean, and listen to me real carefully. If you're like, oh, I don't think it ever rained, just be willing to admit you don't think that sometimes because your favorite pastor 20 years ago preached that. How many would shake your head and recognize your theology's got to be based on the word, not on your pastor 20 years ago. Can we say amen to this? All I'm saying is, it, well, then what could it be? the thing not seen could have been a great storm. Amen. I mean, how many lived in California all your life? You don't, I mean, even when it pours here. Oh, trust me. I went to Philadelphia one time and it was raining in Philadelphia. I couldn't believe the intensity of water coming down all at one time. I mean, it was raining so hard. If I would have just gone out like this and like this, I'd be drenched. It was so, you ever hear like buckets? It was pouring like buckets. Okay. Georgia, is it like that in Georgia? All I'm saying is, I don't mean to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just saying it says not seen. We don't know if that was rain. We don't know if that was a huge flood. We don't know that. Here's what I'm catching you. Here's what I'm teaching you. There are things that are going to be spoken to you that are warnings of things to come. You don't see, it's a dream, it's a vision, it's a passage in the Bible, and you can't see it. And you better hold that way in more confidence than you do the sunny day. Right? Because it's a sunny day. And it's a sunny day, and it's a sunny day, and it's a sunny day. I don't have time to do this for over 100 years. And it's a sunny day. And one day, it wasn't sunny anymore. And why? I got to teach this to you. You got to catch this. Why did Noah survive the flood? Here's why. Because he believed in what he didn't see more than what he could see. I'll give you a way better chance to say amen to that. He believed more. Somebody say more. See, you got to make a decision what you're going to believe. And most, I would say many, I would even say most Christians, they live their life believing only what they see. And because of that, when the warnings of God come, we're just like, well, it's sunny. Can I go deeper? And we know enough in our Christianese not to say, well, I don't believe God. But in our actions, we are preparing. How many know that Noah believed in what God was saying? Here's somebody deep. Tell me why you think he believed in what he couldn't see. What was the proof of it? Yeah, building the boat. How many know you didn't go to a Home Depot? How many know you didn't go to Home Depot and buy an electrical drill? Or a saw. He didn't have one of those. You ever see these, you know, they don't hammer anything anymore. They got this thing that are, you ever see these? How many know he didn't have that? Are you learning something today? I remember two times particularly in my life that would have caused me not to be here where I stand here today. We had been here. We felt like God had called us here. And how many know you're like, hey, God, send me the email. I want to see the email. Here, let me teach you this. Are you ready to learn this? And what you think is you think that once you get the email, you think if you got the email, you'd go, oh, I'm going to do it now. No, you wouldn't. I'll prove it to you. Can I take a time out? I just want to share a story. There's somebody here today. They shared this story with me. They went to they went to, I don't know, it was, I don't know what state it was. I don't even know who this woman was. But you know what? He was out of state and talked to this lady, and they were talking, and they found out, oh yeah, he's, you know what, the family was going to living in this area. And you know what? And she said, oh, you need to go to Hope. You need to look up Pastor Drew. That's an awesome church. You need to start going to that church. You know what? That person felt in the spirit like that was confirmed in his spirit. Amen. And now his family comes here and they're totally blessed, and we're totally blessed. How many know God will use anything, anybody, and he'll speak to you. You'll be not understand. This happens. One of the reasons why you've got to, the main way that God wants to speak to you is by you reading the Bible every day. But we had been here for, Tamara and I felt called here. God spoke to me in a very real way. And I just sensed in my spirit. I didn't hear it audibly, but I sensed in my spirit that God, that I would be the next pastor here. And I talked to my wife, and she thought I was nuts. How many know sometimes people don't get happy with with God, what God is telling you? Amen. I remember the first time. Well, it wasn't the first time, but it was one of the first times. And Tamara had felt like the Holy Spirit was telling us to give $500. This is above the tithe. I mean, I wasn't happy about that. I was like, you ain't hearing from God. That ain't God. Man, you're hearing from a demon. But it didn't take long that I knew exactly what she said was true. And so I spoke to her, and she was like, that don't make no sense. Well, it didn't make sense to me either. But over a period of time, I knew it was God, and she knew it was God. And so we stepped forward, and we started to put our resume together and submitted it to this church. And about it took over a year for them to select Tamara and I as their pastors. Well, during that whole year, how many know I'm starting to feel like, man, maybe I missed it. Hello? How many know a year was a long time, many Sundays, and I'm coming in and I'm leading worship. You know, I led worship so well that the pastor told me to stop talking so much. Just sing the songs. Hello? How many know that wasn't very encouraging? Amen? Pastor, what'd you do? I did exactly what the pastor asked me to do. Amen? Because I believe the pastor is the authority in the church. I just believe that. I mean, I have reason to believe it. I see it in the Word of God. And I just did what he asked me to do. Gladly did what he asked me to do. And thank God, it took over a year, but sure enough, God confirmed, and we became pastors here. And then, bless the Lord, I started preaching. And, you know, Pastor Isaac, my preaching ability was so astronomical that within months the church just exploded. How many know that was not true? And I remember, you know what, year after year after year after year after year, coming out of my little office into the North Sanctuary, small little sanctuary, and just seeing just a handful of people, not very many people. And I remember thinking, man, at I don't know what it was, year 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, I'm still working in the grocery store. And I remember thinking, you know what? I might have missed it. I think I missed it. I think I missed it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know what? If you leave this church, you will leave one of the biggest blessings that you have ever known. And not only you, but your family. Now watch this. Watch this. How many of you have you came to this church in less than 5 years from today? Raise your hand. Real high. Real high. Real high. Real high. Okay. I want to even known you. How many came to this church, have been in this church less than 10 years? Raise your hand, y'all. And 5 years. Raise your hand real high. I want to known y'all. You want to known me. You know why? Because I was moved by what I saw. Are you catching this? But that which is not seen is more. What did you do? I went back to my fundamental understanding of the Word of God and understanding of the truths of God and understanding of the depth and the security of what God says. And I said to myself, you know what? I know I can miss it. I've missed it before, but I know I haven't missed it here, and I will continue. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, here's what I need you to do. You just keep on teaching the Word of God, because predominantly the teaching of the Word of God is what is going to grow this church. So, Pastor, what did you do? I put my happy pants on the next week, and I saw the same little group of people, and I said, man, are you ready? Get your Bibles, put it over your head, say it with me. This is my Bible. Amen. And I taught the Word of God, and I'm teaching the Word of God ever since. Are you learning something today? Lord, I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing anything happen. You know what you need to say? But I am not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what you say. I'm moved by what I know. And here's what I know. I know it's impossible for you to lie. I'm moved on nothing that I see. For that which I see is temporary, but that which is not seen is eternal. Think of this. The woman with the issue of blood. How many know that story? Raise your hand if you know this story. The woman with the issue of blood. You know what Jesus said to her? It is your faith that caused you to be whole. Listen, this might mess up your theology. I'm not trying to offend you, but God messes up my theology all the time. And when he messes up with my theology, I need to change my theology. You know why? Because that's my theology, not his theology. Here's what he says. You know what? To the woman with the issue of blood, boom, she gets healed. She makes a demand on the power. You know what? You know the story, most of you. He stops. He says, who touched me? The apostle is like, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. He said, no, somebody called a demand on my power. He starts to talk to this lady. When he's done teaching this lady, here's what he says. Before he leaves, he says, let me tell you what. Your faith has caused you to be whole. How many know the story of the 10 lepers? How many know that story? Guess what? He says the same thing to those 10 lepers. Your faith has caused you to be whole. How many know the story about the beggar, the blind beggar that was Bartimaeus yelling, you know what, Lord? You know what he says to Bartimaeus? Here's what he says. Your faith has healed you. See, what are you going to do with all these cases? You're just going to blow them off? What about the centurion ruler? What about the centurion who came and said, you know what, my servant is sick to the point of death. But what did he say? Just speak a word. You don't even have to go over to my house. Illustration after illustration now, illustration. What about the men who popped through the roof and lowered their guy? The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. See, you see this over and over and over and over and over in the Word of God. We just read this. Did we not read this? Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 says, can we turn there real quick? Guys in the back, I don't have this in my notes, but throw it up there. Hebrews chapter 3. It's Hebrews chapter 3. Look at this. Verse 12. Beware, brethren. Beware, brethren. Look at your neighbor and say, beware, brethren. Okay. Maybe you're sitting next to a sister and say, beware, sisterin. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confession steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear is what? Take a time out. If you will hear his voice, Jesus says, my words are spirit and they're life. It says nothing about having seen anything. Because let me tell you what, his voice is more real. But notice what it says. Today, what's the next word there? If. You know what it means there? It means that you're hearing his voice like Caleb and Joshua heard his voice. See, Caleb and Joshua saw all the spies. Caleb and Joshua saw all the giants, the enemies. What did they believe? Here, this is great illustration of what I'm teaching. Great illustration. 12 spies go out, 10 of them see the giants, and here's what they say. We don't care what God said. We are on this train. We believe we can't do that. Caleb and Joshua heard God, and they didn't harden their hearts. They believed that God was bigger than their circumstance, and they said, we can surely do this. Watch this. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What does that mean? Guys, this was written to the Hebrews, but how many know this is written to us? What's God saying to us today? Somebody say today. Today, if you will not harden your hearts, but if you'll hear God. Verse 16. For who having what? Heard, they rebelled. They heard God too, but they rebelled. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Oh, let's stop here. Who is he angry with? The people that heard him but didn't believe him. Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who did not obey? Watch this final verse, so powerful. So we see that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. Or you could say it this way. We see that they didn't enter because they believed only in what they saw. Let's turn to one more scripture and then we'll stop. Oh my goodness. Let's turn to one more scripture and then we'll stop. Let's look back at those 10 spies. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 11. Now it happened as they went to Jerusalem, as they passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were leopards who stood far off. You know why they stood far off? Because they were demanded to stand far off. They were unclean. This leprosy was highly contagious. This leprosy was gross. It was not only it's a skin eating disease. It literally eats your body parts. And you don't die right away because your heart and your lungs are still functioning, but it's just like gross. It's a crazy disease. And it was very common back then. And so if you caught leprosy, you'd have to stay far off, not only because it was so contagious, but because it was so gross, people didn't want you around. So sad. Then, verse 12, then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were leopards who stood far off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Do you see this? So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Here's the point. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Let me illustrate this teaching. They're asking for mercy. What's mercy? Mercy is give us what we believe we don't deserve, but we want it anyway. That's what mercy is. Mercy is when you get what you, when you don't get what you deserve. And so they're asking for mercy. And so Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. Go show yourself to the priest. Now, let me teach you this. If for some reason you got healed of leprosy, you couldn't just go heal. You had to take a COVID test first. Right? You ain't just going to go, "Hey, I feel better. You know, I mean, I feel better." No, you got to get COVID tested. They're not going to let you back in till they know. Same thing. It was happening back then. They wouldn't let them back in. Okay? So, but here's the point. What do they have at this point? They haven't moved. They've just heard. What do they have at this point? They have nothing. Here's the point, guys. Please get this. They have nothing that they can see. They have nothing that they can see. All they have is the Word of God. What Jesus said. Some of you have nothing that you can see. So what? You have something more real than what you can see. Are you catching this? And what you need to understand is what we don't understand as a people. We by far, we are so prone to think. We are so prone to think that if it's God's will, that it'll happen. And if it's not God's will, it won't happen. And who am I? Because who knows? And I'm just going to stand here and let it happen. The problem with that kind of mentality is you've got example after 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 example in the Word of God that shows you Jesus over and over, example after example, for us. Here, let me prove it another way. Let me give you another scripture. The Bible says these people that saw the promises of God manifest in their life, you know how they did it? By faith and patience. That's what the Bible says. That's the Bible's narration of how they received it. Don't argue with me. What did they have at this point? They have nothing that they can see. Is there any body parts that are being restored? Sometimes we read the Bible and we know the end result, so we just read it like, and they all got healed. It's not what it says. How many know these words are every word? You know, the Bible says in Revelations, if you take away a word of this, there's going to be some serious consequences to you. And if you add to this, there's going to be serious consequences to you. Let me tell you why. Because every single word is God breathed. This is God's word. And so don't make light of it. Don't just play around with the story. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. So at this point, they have the word, but they got nothing that they can see. There's no tangible proof of his word making any difference in their life until they move. Their movement, these guys knew this. They were going to the priest because the priest was the one who could write them admission back into society. And they all knew that. So here's my question. Why didn't Joe say to Fred, say to Sam, why would we go? There's nothing changed. Here's why. Because they had something more powerful than what they could see. They had what God told them to do. And all they had to do is move on the commandment of God. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. That's what the Bible says. And we see an application right here. So with no proof, they move. And as they went, they were cleansed. Maybe, I'm just saying, maybe there's something supernatural that could happen in your life. I mean, very shortly, very quickly. If you would just walk in forgiveness of that sister who in your mind doesn't deserve your forgiveness. And that is clogging a release of what's going to happen. And it's, you said, well, I need to hear God tell me to forgive. Well, read your Bible. Amen? Amen. And that one thing is the thing that's holding you back. Does this make sense to anybody? Yes. What has God told you? Maybe you heard it in your prayer time. Maybe you heard it as we're studying the Word of God together. I don't know what it is. I've said this to so many people. You know what? Maybe the problem is, it's like, Pastor, I don't, there are no good guys out there. There's no good guys out there. There are no good girls. All the good people are taken already, and there's hardly any good ones. Okay, wait. So why don't you walk by faith and break up with the toad that you're with? How are you gonna marry the prince if you're dating the toad? Oh, I'll tell you what, when I see the prince, I'll dump the toad. Can I remind somebody, maybe you're being called not only to forgive your sister, but to buy her a birthday present. I ain't buying, Pastor, you going too far now, I'm buying her. And as they went, maybe you're called to just, maybe God is calling you to act like your spouse is the best thing in the world, even though they're not acting that way right now. You're like, Pastor, I'll tell you what, I've taken enough. They're never going to change. I've seen it. I've lived it. You're not going to tell me what's going to happen because I know. I know who they are. All right. All right. All I'm telling you is, guys, this is how God works. This is how he works. This is how he works. Everything that you see, every plant, every animal, every mountain, every valley, every ocean, every sea, every river, everything you see was made by God by what you cannot see. That's the Bible. Guys, from the beginning I started to the end, all I'm teaching you is the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. And the reason why this sounds so wacky to some of you is because you just haven't been entrenched with what you've been believing. Believers that don't really believe the Bible are afraid to teach the Bible. I'm not afraid to teach the Bible. I'm not afraid to encourage you to step out in faith. I don't believe that a balanced Christian life is a mix. A lot of belief with a lot of unbelief. I don't believe that's wisdom. I believe that's foolishness. I believe the only thing that I believe what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, that which is unseen is more real on that which is seen. And I've lived it. You are a proof of it. If I would have walked away, I wouldn't have known. I want to live the richness that I live right now. Some of you have come in this last year that have just enriched Tamarind in our lives. Some of you came in the last 5 years that have incredibly enriched Tamarind in our lives. You know, some of you have been here like Connie for over 20 years. But guess what, Connie? If I would have walked away, you know what? Before I ever become pastor, oh my goodness, I wouldn't ever been able to golf with your husband. Right? Are you learning something today?